Welcome back to Red Ice TV, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Henrik. Hope you're having a good day today. We have a show for you lined up that I think you'll enjoy. We're going to have a conversation with Jim Goad, who returns to the show today.
Hey.
To talk about his latest. Hi, Jim. How's it going?
Oh, spectacular. Thanks for asking.
Of course, you bet. Let's talk a bit about your latest book today. A lot to dive into. It's called Whiteness, The Original Sin. There it is. You can show the full cover. Tell us about the front cover on that one, by the way.
Designed by genius Sean Tejerachi. It's a, what am I perspective here? There we go. Yes, it's a white woman from the 50s with her white baby, and you've got the flames of hell behind it, because being white is, I mean, you're born white, and you're born guilty now. And I sort of hinted at this 20 years ago in the Redneck Manifesto, that it was akin to being born with guilt. And it's a form of blood libel. Anyone who's non-white, if they want to buy into that, that makes sense. The people I want, well, see, these days you have to kind of, I was going to say want to harm, but I'll roll that back.
Yeah, I can say
people,
that.
The people that I actually hate are the self-hating whites. They're the ones who want to dictate how much I hate blacks and Jews and everyone else. I'll be the judge of that. I know who I hate. It's the self-hating whites.
So tell us about the evolution of it. You said all the way back 20 years ago you were talking about some of these things, but obviously you've evolved as the world has changed really too, and transformed and gotten more anti-white, right? And you realized the propaganda. You've realized what the hell is happening in the world right now, if you're white.
Well, being a boomer born in 1961, when I wasn't voting for pro-Israeli wars and voting for the decline of the West, like all these fucking young idiots think I'm responsible for, when they sold us anti-racism in the 60s, and it was comprehensive propaganda through TV, radio, pulpits, everything. It was just, hey, we're all going to get along. We're going to drop the tribalism. And I don't know, that was depicted as something good. No one in the 60s was told they're going to be talking about white privilege. And if you say it's okay to be white, you'll lose your career and be destroyed. So to say the boomers have responsibility for that is idiotic. No one was told that. And I think if they were told that, of course they would have voted against that. Another reason the boomer thing is stupid, and I'm not defending my generation, I'm going to identify with my generation. It's assuming most of these poor proles have any effect or any decisive effect on what happens to their generation. People are shaped by their circumstances. They're shaped by the elites. They're shaped by propaganda. Your average person basically is a follower and has no power over what happens. They don't realize that, though. And if you're going to talk about Gen Z, what were you saying earlier? Paul Joseph Watson says that Gen Z is the most conservative.
Yeah, didn't he say that? The most conservative generation ever or something?
That's not what statistics say. They're the most liberal, insane, pro-tranny group in world history. So you get these idiots who hang out with nine guys on Discord, and they think their entire generation is that way, and they wander into some real stupid territory. But whiteness, it metastasized. I don't even think the word whiteness existed in the 60s. And you see, I'm sure you've seen the meme where it's, you know, Asian pride, according to Wikipedia, black pride. The only thing that's immediately racist and pathological is white pride. And we talked about this last time I was on. Well, why? There appears to be an elite plan to de-whiten the world by flooding every white country or majority white country with non-whites. And my theory for this, I can't read minds, I don't know everything, is there's an old political slogan, you know, you hammer down the nail that sticks up the highest. I think organized whites would probably be the biggest threat to this global plan, so that's why they have to make it the ultimate sin.
Yeah, I mean, that's where a lot of people go with it, Jim, and I tend to agree with that. I found much of the same thing. You know, in the beginning, when I started the show, I wasn't at all things like racial differences or multiculturalism or open borders, immigration and things like this. This is something I woke up slowly to, even when that famous video by Barbara Spector came out talking about, you know, she was sitting in Sweden with her interest group there, Paideia, talking about how Sweden and Europe in the extension have to become multicultural for it to survive and things like that. And she even went to so far to say, well, we Jews are going to be behind that, she said in the clip. And I just like blew my mind to a certain extent. Like, what the hell is this intentional? Someone is like pushing to do this against us. And I started asking these questions, like, why do they want to do this? What's the reason for it? What's their objective? What are they going to gain from this? You know,
one of the things I thought was brilliant about Kevin MacDonald's books is he uses the words of Jews. He goes straight to the source, and a lot of them seem to see it as revenge for persecution in Europe through, two millennia. Guilt is one of the main themes of my writing. If you can tag a group with guilt, you've destroyed them. White people, I don't know if there is an altruistic gene, but I would say it's still at this point the majority have bought into this, that there's something wrong with being born the way they are. And as I said, I think in the Redneck Manifesto, self-hatred is not attractive in anyone. Back when blacks were shuffling and, yes, massa, how's it coming? That didn't reflect well on them. It was weakness and submission. And it's just as ugly. It's probably uglier because I'm white to see white people doing it. But, anti-racism was sold as something entirely differently. It was not sold as anti-whiteness in the 60s when they originally started selling it. And it took a while. I think it took a lot of chipping at demographics to get it to take hold. Now white people know they can get beaten up for being okay with being white.
Yeah.
That little nerdy kid at Columbia, was it last week? Who just said, we've invented most things. Was there anything factually wrong about what he said?
No.
And then Tim Wise is on Twitter saying, let's wreck this little shit.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wreck. That's worse than what Chuck Johnson said, let's take this guy out, right? Let's wreck, and let's make sure he never, he's fine. He's blue check, isn't he, Tim Wise?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Of course. Yeah. And it's amazing the hate that they are allowed to have in their hearts, right? I mean, supposedly, if you take your own side as a white person, like everyone else does, and it's fine. It doesn't mean I hate anyone else. It means I want to make sure that, you know, my people, my group, we thrive and we have our own destiny. We can control certain things, and there's enough bickering internally anyway to make it, complicated. But whatever, you just take your own side. But that's seen as a maneuver towards hate these days, right? Just saying, hey, look, there's people out there that are openly talking about replacing us. Then they come back at us and say, well, that's hate speech. We're going to shut you down and we're going to remove you. But no one is reacting to their hates, right?
It's gaslighting on a large scale. When someone tells you what's in your mind and you know that's not in your mind, if it were legal, I'd kill that person. That person has ill intent for your future, for your well-being. I love my family. You hate. And I think this was in Orwell's 1984. They want to control what's inside your head, too. That's ultimate hate, ultimate totalitarianism. But I despair about, I don't think it's possible to debate these people anymore. They think religiously. And another major theme in my writing is the problems of religious thinking, because rationality doesn't make a dent in it. I said a long time ago in an article for Tacky, Darwin had a lot more, and Adam Smith had a lot more to do with the greatness of the West than Peter and Paul. Or Jesus and Mary, for God's sake. I mean, they talk about how Christianity was fundamental to the West. How many years was Christianity the dominant ideology in the West, and there were plagues and poverty and darkness? Long, long time. I don't think Christianity and the West are synonymous at all. The majority of world Christendom now is non-white. And these trad boys who've jumped on this, they got scared after Charlottesville, and they're counter-signaling racism. They think Christianity is going to preserve the West. Boy, are they dumb. Unconscionably dumb. It's a losing battle. A problem with Christianity is it's like Marxism. It's universalistic. You have to be exclusionary to have any kind of winning game plan these days. You can't include everybody. But, that's my main critique of what happened to the alt-right after Trump's election in Charlottesville is traditionalism and Christianity. I just think it's doomed beyond belief. And it's depressing, too, because Christianity is anti-rational. People have alleged, I'm a fedora-wearing Reddit thread reader, and that's why I hate Christianity. It's like, no, you know why I'm not a Christian? I read the Bible inside and out when I was a Christian. And after a while, it's like there are so many things that cannot possibly be true and fundamental things that don't make any sense about Christianity. This is obviously a fable concocted by a tribe to justify their own existence 2,000 years ago. To think it applies in any way to the modern world is dumb. Nietzsche was bang on about Christianity. Christianity is not a European religion. Sorry, guys, you dumbasses. Why does this need to be explained? At this late date, it just seems like they went back to square one. Christianity, you will get bold. Yeah. Christianity preaches meekness.
I think a lot of people are trying their best to cling on to something, right? Because things are changing so fast, and it's so radical and drastic that they, in a way, just, you know, let's just take a few steps back and it's going to help or whatever. And let's just for a moment talk about that, the issue of like what is entailed within the issue of original sin, right? Because if we have these new liberals, and of course you've been talking about this for a while, that the SJWs and these liberals, they're the new church ladies, right? They're the new morality police that come
all moral outrage, condemning people because they're bad, and using that condemnation as justification to abuse the hell out of them.
But isn't the twist different these days in terms of, I remember, for example, a clip from it's a YouTube channel called ASAP Science. They have like millions of, you know, subscribers or whatever. They had three black people on there, and they were talking about how asthma and drinking problems and smoking and being overweight was basically all related to racism, right? It was all like it was a scientific thing now in terms of why, basically why it's racist's fault that they have the issues that they do. And so they wrap the current superstition, I should say, of racism and white supremacy and all that stuff in at least a wrapper of science, that people think that it's scientific, right? Debunking, you know, oh, well, races don't exist anyway, and yada, yada, yada. So
it's such lazy thinking, though.
Repackaged, right?
If blacks have worse asthma rates, if you're going to say that's caused by racism, you have to prove it. You have to prove why. Maybe they smoke more. I don't know anything about black asthma rates, so I can't give a definitive answer for that. But I mean, blacks are fatter than whites. Well, I live in a black area of Georgia. I see what they buy at the supermarket. It's all junk. Maybe that has something to do with their own habits. But I think to blame blacks for anything bad that happens to them, their entire narrative starts to unravel, so they can't do that. And they have to, you know, even if, you know, black on white violence is 65 times more prevalent. I think the rape rate, I did the numbers from 1996 to 2008, FBI uniform crime reports. 2009, when Obama and Eric Holder came in, they stopped listing who the perps and who the victims were by race. Wise decision if you're Eric Holder and Obama. But I took all the numbers, and statistically, since there's 5.5 times as many whites as there are blacks, a white woman is 65 times. I'll repeat that, not 65%. 65 times more likely to be raped by a black guy than a black woman is by a white guy. Where's this on their science? They will get rid of any inconvenient scientific or, you know, just statistical fact. I don't see these pro-science people talking about brain sizes. I don't see them talking about IQ, which many psychologists, at least qualified psychologists, say is the most robust, logical area of psychology. They don't use any of these. I mean, you could much easier use science and IQ to explain black failure than racism.
But again, they won't, because that's already been debunked, right? In terms of science, they've already proved that, and don't even have to repeat the points. Then of course, pesky people like Jared Taylor shows up and still points to issues that are actually real within genetic differences between races. You know,
what is this cartoon that's going on here?
So I'm playing it because it's the B-roll. This is the science of racism that I showed. It's trying to prove that, you know, well, they punished black students more in kindergarten, and that's racism, and that leads to bad opportunities later in life. It's basically,
but they leave out a factor. What does black behavior have to do with that?
There's a lot of things they don't talk about in this one, but this was so funny. They claim it's science, you know?
And then I always urge them, well, when they talk about disparities, I always encourage them to, well, look at how Asians do on these things. Are Asians, if this is a white supremacist society, you would think that Asians are being punished more too, are they? No. Are they going to jail more? No, they're going to jail less than whites are. Asians screw up their entire stupid narrative, and it's not a scientific narrative. It's a moral narrative. What I said in my book, Shit Magnet, I wish this would sink into people's thick skulls. Don't focus on right and wrong and good and evil. If you do, I'm going to think you're a woman. That's an emotional way to look at the world. Think about true and false. That's a male way to look at it. What's true and false is blacks do have smaller brains. They have lower IQs. What they never bring into their scientific studies is, well, how are blacks doing here compared to Swaziland? Nigeria? That screws their narrative up something awful. For 25 years running, I've been offering people, tell me one majority black place on the planet where they live longer and have a higher standard of living than they do right here, where they're being squashed under the thumb of white supremacy. Do people answer scientifically? They never do. They call me names. It's like,
well, it's you're not colonialism, maker. Right? It's still white people's fault. It's
and I can go, fault, I can roll with that real easily too. Well, why was it so easy to colonize them?
Yeah.
Didn't they have any technology to defend themselves? Oh, they didn't even have a written language. Then they
showed up and stole the knowledge from their heads earlier.
This,
you know?
To me, this is obviously why all the deplatforming is going on. After 3 minutes, any of them would lose the debate. Any of them. None of them can hang with the facts. If you're secure in the facts, you're not going to stamp out or censor anybody. I've never censored anybody in my life. I challenge anyone. And very rarely do they accept. And when they do, they get creamed. But yeah, why if you can disprove it with science, disprove it with science for the rest of eternity? But they don't do that. And to me, that psychologically, that signals they're not secure in what they believe. If you were, you'd welcome these people. You can just put a label Nazi or whatever. The Wikipedia listing for alt-right, it's got guys with Nazi flags at Charlottesville. The Wikipedia profile for Richard Spencer, he's an American white supremacist who white supremacy espouses white supremacists. You get to like the third or fourth line. He denies he's a white supremacist. This is such propaganda.
Yeah,
it goes against everything they taught me in journalism school. And I know people are skeptical about just the idea of journalism. I still have some dumb, naive hope that one day there will be journalism again. What is journalism? You don't say what's in people's minds because you can't prove it. You say what, it's like science. You say what can be observed. You don't say it's a racist, white supremacist, alt-right Nazi fiction that blacks have lower IQs. You say all of the available evidence from every IQ test ever devised says that. What's your counter to that? Racist. You're a girl. You're religious. You're emotional. You're not rational. Get out of here. My objection is to girlish religious thinking. And that's the entire left now. And it's eating away at parts of what used to be the right. They're all religious and superstitious now.
Exactly. It's all hyper superstitious. And of course, it's not the first time. You know, we hear this kind of language. There's a lot of people advocating, of course, for the end, the termination, the destruction of whiteness. You list a couple in the book, you know, first chapter out. You kind of go through some recent events. Really how far the needle has shifted, right? And how acceptable it is to single out a group on a racial basis and then point fingers at them and blame them and study their behavior, calling them a problem, right? These study courses, the problem of whiteness, or kids, you know.
And say it's racist just to notice, hey, double standard, white supremacist, that's a disproven, debunked, discredited white supremacist trope. It's like, what was it? And they won't have the conversation, they're pussies. The only thing I've learned over the years is not to get as upset about it. You got to realize there are a lot of people that are stupid. They can't help that. Or they're liars. And whether or not they can help it, I don't care. If they're lying, then there's a problem. But yeah, well, I don't think there's anything necessarily fantastic. I mean, when I asked Richard Spencer, I interviewed him on my podcast, I'm like, are you a white supremacist? He said, well, what do you mean?
Yeah, define it. What does it mean?
It's like, according to what? You know, he's like, they're supreme in my heart, but I mean, even Jared Taylor says they're not intellectually supreme. Jared Taylor says Asian culture is supreme.
Right.
Gets called a white supremacist. We're in a post-logic world. And you can't have a conversation with these people. And maybe it's it's lower on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where it's going to get just down to battle and war, because the time for talking is over. They don't allow that to happen.
And even defending yourself or pointing out what's happening. Look at an article like this, right? The dangerous belief that white people are under attack. And there's other ones too. The Guardian wrote it. A sense that white identity is under attack, right? Making sense of the alt-right. Basically saying it's dangerous for us to think that we are a victim group when we are literally discriminated against, when we're the only group you're actually, that it's acceptable. You can literally call them names. You can spew death threats and hate against them, right?
I wonder sometimes what Trump really thinks about race. But I've challenged people who call him that he's directly appealed to white people. I'm like, where?
He never does that.
Time of him appealing to white, using the word white. Hey, my, I mean, he joked. He's like, there's my black father.
There's my African-American.
African-American. Because
you know?
He's funny.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, have you ever seen the picture of Bernie Sanders with the idiotic, retarded, fat rapper here in Atlanta, Killer Mike?
No, I don't think I have.
They're walking arm in arm somewhere down the streets of Atlanta. He's also in a black barber shop because that's authentic, and he's fist bumping Killer Mike. And there's, you know, what was the Hillary Clinton is your abuela. Like, they're appealing, and I want to get the Hispanic vote and the black vote. And okay, meme mongers, I'm not saying Democrats are the real racists because I don't even buy into the word racist, but it's undeniable that they are fucking race obsessed. They see things in racial terms, except for white people. And everything they say is a contradiction. Well, you're, you know, as a black, it's like, wait a minute, I thought race didn't exist. Well, in this case, it does. Or race exists if you can say white people are evil. Now, like, I get around, I see what some of these extreme people are saying. And I guess every once in a while, you get an insane moralist, oh, blacks are evil. They use the word evil, which is an idiot trigger to me. But, you know, is it more racist to say, well, the evolutionary conditions in Africa favored a lot of reproduction and low parental investment, let the strong ones survive, whereas in, like, the colder climes of Asia and Northern Europe, the evolutionary pressures favored people who would spend a lot of time raising a smart kid and strategizing to survive the winter. So that may be why, according to the rules of Darwinism, whites and Asians may have developed higher IQ. Is that more hateful than saying, no, you're all born evil? It makes no sense. If you have religious thinking, it doesn't have to make sense. Christianity, God gets pissed off at everything. That makes no sense. If God's going to create a world that pisses him off, he has no right to get pissed off at it. But then, you know, fedora and degenerate, they'll just throw these words. It's like, you've disappointed me, my friends. You're thinking exactly like leftists do. You're going back to the old church ladies, thinking that's going to beat the new church ladies. Nope. Sorry. And it won't be long. I mean, they're chipping away at even what Christianity was about. Christianity is gallopingly anti-gay. I could point out 20 Bible verses that are, and it's not, you know, the flaming chariot. They're not talking about Liberace. They're talking about a man lying with a man as an abomination, but it's literal. There's no symbolism there. But they're infiltrating all that too, and you've got, you know, the Pope saying, well, it's not sinful to have, it's like, no, God, like, is throwing rocks at these people in the Bible. So they've infiltrated and chipped away a lot of Christianity. So anybody who got scared after Charlottesville and goes for a safe space in Christianity, wow, no sense of history, no sense of what a winning strategy is at all.
Now, I know that they were going to, I saw the article, I was going to try to pull it up here in a moment, but they were talking about even the Bible, as you say. I remember they did this with Mein Kampf in Germany, right, for obvious reasons. They released a new version of it, and the annotations, the references, the proof that he was wrong was basically more material than the book itself, right?
Right.
And they're going to do something similar with the Bible.
And the Quran.
As well. And the Quran. And the Quran. Really?
Anti-Semitic triggers. They want to have trigger warnings in the Bible and Quran for anti-Jew phrases.
That's right.
Did anyone suggest going into the Talmud and addressing the passages where Jesus is being boiled in excrement and saying, you know, Christians, beware, this is an anti-Christian?
No.
Yeah. Trigger warning, sound analysis. Yeah, just reshaping. It's like, okay, the Bible, I mean, talk about an incoherent book cobbled together. You've got four Gospels, and they're talking about the same events and flat out contradict what happened in these events. So 17 people, 3 people left. And what did Jesus say? Oh, Jesus wasn't like left and right. It's a mess of a book put together over what, 1,000 years? Like, come on, guys, it's obsolete. That's what's funny too. Oh, they're 20 years old and Gen Z and boomers and that's old. It's like, so you're going back 2,000 years for your beliefs? Do you fucking hear yourself? It's like this post-logic world has infected parts of the right. And the moralism, it's like, really, you're just going to LARP as like a Rembrandt painting? No, the world has changed, I'm sorry.
All right,
that doesn't mean we've... Okay.
No, before we get ahead of ourselves and turn off the those that are Christians to the show. Let's establish first the.
Quite firm. I really feel it's a losing strategy.
I get that, and I want to hear more about that.
They're probably turned off by me as it is because of my past.
I think it's important to give them.
I want to make those.
I want you to set the stage.
It ties into the book
with the,
because. I think the problem is religious thinking, and
no, it is. I mean, that's what you're talking about. It's original
across the
sin.
Board.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's the same thing. But let's talk a little bit more about how they do it currently, and then we can kind of harken back to the other stuff that you're talking about. Now, it's a good critique, and I want to hear that. But let's talk about this issue of like them using then original sin, using kind of religious modalities and ways of thinking weaved into this, right? Because it's all a at the end of the day, I see it's all about morality, right? If you can establish something morality, then facts doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what's provable or right or wrong or anything like that. And it seems that the social engineers have realized that they were forced to do this on a moral and a good versus bad or evil basis. Otherwise, they would never get away with it, right? That's the thing which bypasses people's rational approach to things. And if they can get people to feel something like it's the right thing or whatever, then they could steer us in any direction that they want to.
I mean, and they're smart because most people aren't rational. And Jonathan Haidt, you familiar with him?
Yeah.
I just saw some link. I don't know if he did the study, but they came out with a study that said, obviously appeals to logic don't work on most people, but appeals to morality don't either. Like just saying, well, it's the good thing and this many people's lives will be saved. You have to appeal strictly to emotion. And that's what works. And people ask me what the solution is. I'm like, well, theoretically, again, I don't want you to get a strike here, but I guess, you know, encourage policies that are going to shift the quotient of dumb people down somewhat. I think it was David Duke a long time ago who he wanted to fund welfare subsidies for high IQ white couples to breed. I'm not sure that would get much traction or legs in the current Congress, but I think a big problem, because people ask me for solutions, I don't have one, I don't pretend, and I think part of the problem is thinking there is a solution. We might just have a mess, and it's part of the human condition. Humans are dumb. But you have to be dishonest. If you're smart enough to realize it's not about emotions, but most people are not they're immune to logic. Then, yeah, you're going to have to appeal to their emotions. And you're going to have to appeal. Most people, and I don't suffer from this, need to fit in and to feel liked. And they've shifted the entire goalpost, the whole field, to where if you're a racist, you're going to be ostracized. So whether or not you think blacks are dumber, or your daughter got raped by a black, you have to not say anything. And
be nice and shut up about it, right?
Well, be nice, yeah, but how hateful they act.
Of course.
And it's like, I don't have a problem with hate. What I have a problem with is bullshit. When you're saying you're hating in the name of love, then come on. Like, if you just want to say, hey, I want what's good for me and I will stomp on your neck, it's like, okay, let's fight. You know, at least you're honest.
How is it that they can outlaw a human emotion? Because that's really what it is, right? Hate obviously has a function evolutionary, otherwise we would never have developed it, correct?
Right. There was a subsection of Chapter 8 of the Redneck Manifesto called Hate Explains Everything. And this was back when the militias were a big story. It was after the Oklahoma City bombing. And there was Kenneth Stern. He wrote a book called A Force Upon the Plain, The American Militia Movement and the Politics of Hate. And he talks about the night the Oklahoma City bombing happens. And every one of these manipulative assholes has a story where their six-year-old son asks, why, daddy? And he said, he hugs his Jewish son and says, because they hate too much. That's why the Oklahoma City bombing happened. I thought there was some sort of kismet. At the time, the statistics I saw, there were 168 people killed in the Oklahoma City bombing. The estimates at the time, according to Death by Government and others, that government action had killed 168 million people that century. So as far as the government versus the Oklahoma City bombing, we're talking a million to one. Huh. Or Timothy McVeigh, did he hate blacks or Jews? Not that I know of, but he went to Iraq, he was in the Iraq War, and hated what his government did. That's like, and again, but this is something that drives me nuts. I've been harping on it for a year, 2 years. You don't know why people do other things. I don't want to know why other people do other things. I don't want to get in other people's heads. It's probably an ugly place. But how does Kenneth Stern, he was called an expert on the militia movement. This is a guy, he's a Jewish lawyer in Manhattan, thinks he knows what's in the minds of a farmer in Montana more than the farmer does. And that's so totalitarian to me. That's something that I buck up against. That triggers me, I guess, like racism, these modern sins trigger other people. There's something very totalitarian about telling some other person what they think and why they do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for what
and
reason.
And that's one of the first rules they taught us against in journalism school. You don't say Trump thinks. You don't know. And you say Trump says. You can say Trump says this and does that, so he might not think that. That's all fine.
But it is the opinion pieces, Jim, that actually sets the narrative right now, and it's true for...
That's considered journalism.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you do, I have to do it one day, but again, same thing for my and Lana's Wiki page, right? It's, we are white supremacists, right? And we hate other people and all that kind of stuff, right? And you look at the sources, the references that they use for this, and it's literally articles written by like 25-year-olds that make a moral judgment on us. They do misrepresentation, misquotation, take things out of context. They interpret the way they see it, and they just say, oh, see, this is the proof now. But this is how liars make history. They literally just write it on a piece of paper, and then that's so. You know, that's how they do it.
And Hitler, are you going to get a strike for any positive mention of Hitler? I have to be very careful.
I think so, yeah.
Really? Well, can I say what Hitler said and how he was misrepresented?
I don't know anymore. This is what's so interesting. We have actually talked about it. It shows historical, like just try to get to the accuracy of it. What happened? What, you know, what did they say or what did they do? You know, and it's a problem. You know?
This isn't live, so if you need to cut this out, I understand.
Yeah, go ahead. Fire off, and we'll see if we'll keep it or not.
The passage in Mein Kampf about the big lie. For years, because the way it was presented in media and academia, you look up Hitler Goebbels' big lie. 99% of the references will be this was a tactic that Hitler and Goebbels preached, openly preached. You have to lie to the people because they're dumb enough to believe the big ones.
Here's a Wiki page on it.
Okay, yeah. But what he actually said was that people are fundamentally honest. They'll lie in little things, but no one would tell an audacious, ridiculous lie. That's why they're vulnerable, because if somebody says, you know, oh, God, mincing my words here, and I hate that. But what he said the actual big lie was that the Jews are a religion and not a race. And he says they escape a lot of scorn and persecution because of that lie. He's like, they are a race, they are an ethnic tribe, and they act in their ethnic tribe's interest and manipulate other ethnic tribes to divide and conquer them. But there's been a whole big lie spun about that passage, saying that he advocated that. He said, no, this is what the Jews practice. So the whole big lie now is what the big what Hitler meant by the big lie. And that's, I mean, man, I would rather be in poverty than live a lie. And a lot of people aren't that way. And maybe we're just genetically different. I don't know, but liars bug the hell out of me, and they're telling lies. People are equal, or you're a hater, you're a white super, you know, you can explain. I did a whole podcast episode and an article about where, and it's in the book, it's a chapter, where are all the white supremacists?
Yeah.
Because still, there's a dictionary definition for that. Two conditions have to be met to be a white supremacist. You have to believe that whites are superior to all other groups, and you have to believe that they should rule over others. Do you fit both of those conditions?
No.
Jared Taylor doesn't. Richard Spencer doesn't. Nobody I've met really does. I'm sure there's a few. But I'd like to see maybe the legal system revamped, where if you call somebody something that's going to harm them and it's inaccurate according to the dictionary definition, you should be sued out of your house.
Yeah. I agree.
Maybe,
yeah,
I think the law needs to be changed.
There's so much defamation. And wasn't that another thing that Trump wanted to do but didn't manage to bring it back, actually get more responsibility in terms of the journalists and what they write and get, I forget what the law was called, but to bring back that issue that, like, if you defame people in the media, you're in real damn big trouble, you know?
In the current climate, there's hardly anything worse you can call someone than a Nazi.
Right.
or a white supremacist.
Yeah, it'll prevent them from potentially getting a job, right? They can't take care of themselves financially. That's it, you know?
And Tim Wise gloating about this nerdy little guy in Colombia who was saying, we invented the world and I love my people or something. He's like, time to wreck this little shit. And yeah. Those are the words he used. And let's make sure he never gets another job and let's see how his whiteness. That's like, hey, Tim, dumbass, you're kind of proving his point. Because if white privilege actually existed, he could say this. Cops and politicians and media luminaries would be saying this.
Yeah, exactly. And they would support him, in fact. If he did say such things, he would be lifted. He would get an award, right, if white supremacy ruled the world.
Right. It's so, like, your own words contradict. They trip all over themselves.
Yeah.
But, I'm not an expert in anthropology or culture or anything, but I think we're in a flux, and I think it's due to numbers and demographics. And I think, before the dust settles, there's going to be a bunch of insanity.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no common ground. And what we're fighting over now is like what reality is.
Yeah.
And
yep.
They've got the upper hand, obviously. What bugs me is so many people are giving up. They're just and shutting up. And even, on the alt-right, half of the famous people don't even use their real names.
Yeah.
It's like, I realize you can get wrecked over it. But as long as you do that, you're admitting you're a coward. And you're admitting that they have the power. And you're admitting you're submitting to that power. I mean, if everyone just came out and said their name and said, I'm okay with being white, they couldn't arrest everybody. There would be a critical mass. But, I understand people have jobs and everything. But I'm a writer. That's how I make my living. There's no worse profession to have these opinions than media. But I use my name. Come on. And I talk a lot about this, the Anons calling other people cowards. You did an episode on what happened to Gavin, or have you talked about that?
No, but it is interesting, isn't it? We spoke a bit about him, his apology or jumping ship from Proud Boys. And that wasn't he, this is the next spin to it that I heard just yesterday. Glenn Beck bought up CRTV and they kicked Gavin off, right?
Yes. Yeah, Gavin has been deplatformed from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and I think it was yesterday or the day before, YouTube.
Yeah.
And now doesn't have his TV show. When Gavin lost his pride in the Proud Boys or whatever that process was, he was no longer a proud guy. Somebody on Twitter's like, hey, you better disavow him because he's a sneaky snake and he'll disavow you and he's a coward. And I'm like, what's your name? Silence.
Yep.
These people don't see the irony of hiding behind a screen name and calling other people cowards. Whatever you think about Gavin, I've had differences with him. The guy's always been cool to me. I mean, I thought, he did a lot of counter signaling against the alt-right. And
yeah, he did.
I found that distasteful,
Yeah.
But as far as bravery, this guy has people camping out on his front lawn and threatening his family. These people, and the people that call him a coward are cowering behind screen names somewhere in Iowa. I think he's braver than they are, for Christ's sake. However he went about it, he got, and I don't know why technically he disavowed the whole organization. From what I hear, it was to help out the Proud Boys that got arrested. I don't know if that's true or not. If that's true, that's noble. Otherwise, people stop being anonymous. Like I said, if you keep cowering, they will win.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, you have to stand up to them.
You have to. That's undeniable. And it's a tacit admission that you're a coward, that you're afraid that's what's going to happen. If Jews, I just said, oh, whites rule the world. Okay. Well, it'd be okay for for white people, but not too okay for Jews. So if you think it's going to be okay if you just basically submit, you don't know much about how the world works.
Yeah, and I mean, at some point you have to see the projection, right? We can for a moment talk about where this is going, right? What is the motivation for them doing this? And you kind of mentioned it briefly in the beginning in terms of like taking out the opposition, basically. And I agree more or less with that assessment. It's a new world, a liberal world order that they want to create. They want to have a homogenized planet with a joint culture. And they realize that these pesky nations and these pesky little different groups, they kind of stand in the way of that beige golden future that they want to create, right? But so they want to take out the potential opposition to it. And they also feel at the same time that you know, they need to, of course, demonize, I think, the group and attack the group that potentially has both maybe organizational skill, technological skill, to actually mount an opposition. And again, historically, that might have, they might have tried to learn some lessons from that, right?
I got into an email exchange with a guy that I know, and he goes anonymous online, and I'm not a dick, so I'm not going to say what his name is. But he, the analogy he used is like, well, don't go so out in the open. You're going to make yourself a sitting duck. It was the English versus the French Agincourt. I'm not sure how to pronounce this town. He said it was one, the English or the French were aggressive and they just got wiped out by being too out in the open. And, but this is what he's talking about was hundreds of years ago when basically people ruled swaths of land with weapons. We're talking about a technological dictatorship now where if one group gets entire control of technology, it's over. It's a point of no return. It's not like, I know a lot of friends are optimistic. Well, these, it's a pendulum. It's like, not if they have all the technology. It's fucking over. And yeah, as much of a mess as the last 2 years have been, the people that disappoint me are the ones, the counter-signalers post-Charlottesville, who realized race was real for 20 years or 6 months, as most of them. Now it's like, racism's wrong. We got to be traditional. It's like, I think you guys got scared.
What do you think of, speaking of that, Jim, what do you think of James Field getting the life imprisonment sentence? I mean, again, as far as I'm concerned, it was more about a case over the fact that he is a white guy who dared to show up at an event where basically is protesting the removal of statues and ultimately the attack on American white culture.
There were some dribs and drabs that came out as the trial approached. The guy was apparently a knucklehead. He beat his wheelchair-bound mother repeatedly, what I heard. He also posted a meme a couple months before Charlottesville. It's like, I know you're protesting, but I have to go to work, and it's a car plowing through a crowd. And the prosecution tried to use that to prove deliberation or intent. What I don't know was revealed at the trial was whether the car actually even touched Heather Heyer. From what I've seen, her mother said that she died of a heart attack. The coroner's report said she died of blunt chest trauma. How does a Dodge Challenger hit a grown woman in the chest? I'm freelancing here because I don't know what the trial transcripts are, but they just said evil, evil, white, white, and that was enough. And the jury was swayed not by facts like a jury is supposed to do, but by emotions and who are the devils.
Yep.
Oh, this guy's a devil. And it's like, I don't want to go back to medieval times.
But that sets a new level, at least in the modern era, then, in terms of just basically having the wrong opinions and being on trial for those versus the actual provable facts of what you did or didn't do.
Is there any evidence of James Fields ever saying anything about blacks or Jews that was equivalent to what the deputy mayor of Charlottesville said about white people on Twitter? Wes Bellamy. White girls are ugly. I fucking hate white people. You know, I think he even said kill white people. But that's the black deputy mayor of Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Is there anything analogous? But like I said, like we're living in a world now where why even bring that up? It's not going to leave a dent on these people. They're immune to logic. They've got like logic shield, anti-logic shields or something. They're in some kind of Star Wars movie where they have these logic repellent lasers.
Star Trek. It's the Borg, right? They adapt continuously. You fire facts at them and they just, they've adapted.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing
bites.
I wasn't at Charlottesville, but I watched the live streams all day and all I saw were these guys, whatever insignia they had, they were just trying to get to their cars and being taunted, having rocks. I mean, it was clear to me where the violence was coming from. And as much as I distrust the media, I was still shocked by how quickly the narrative developed.
Mm-hmm.
And people I haven't spoken to in 10 years, oh, yeah, that Nazi that purposely drove. They believe, and I mean, people are still dumb enough. They think that the news happens organically and the news isn't presented and sculpted for them.
Yeah.
And uncomfortable things are omitted. And I mean, the journalists, there's no true journal. I mean, I guess independent journalism, there are people who do report facts. I'm trained in it. I do opinion pieces. I don't have the time to do reporting these days. Holy God. It just became a moral narrative. And Tim Cook talking it. This is what stuck when you were playing that clip.
Yeah, I wanted actually to play that. Why don't we do that? We can actually listen to what he says here. Here's Tim Cook at an acceptance speech, folks, at the ADL, right? He has been giving money to the ADL. This was directly in the wake of Charles Wilson, since we're on that topic, too. And here he is talking about the morality issue. Let's listen to this.
And more hopeful world. I believe the most sacred thing that each of us is given is our judgment, our morality, our own innate desire to separate right from wrong. Choosing to set that responsibility aside at a moment of trial is a sin.
Satan, right? So we're right back there again, Jim, in terms of the new church ladies, right? How is this? How is it a gay man talking about sin almost in evangelical terms or something like that?
That's what they become, and that's what the theme of the new church ladies was they became moralists.
Yeah.
Again, being a boomer, being ancient, I remember the days when these were the people who were for free speech. And the conservatives weren't. They were the book burners and record burners. Why? Because conservatives had the moral upper hand back then. Now that the left...
Also, maybe they saw where this was going. And they, you know, to a certain extent, they know that if you give them an inch, they'll take an arm and then your head, you know?
Yeah, I've wondered about this, too. If the right or, you know, the anti-progressive forces, if they became dominant again, would they censor? They probably would. Would they start acting like assholes? Probably. Would they lie? Probably. I think that's a factor of human nature. And if you have the power, you don't need the facts.
Yeah.
That's when you rely on shaming and guilt and demonization and ostracization. If you're on the short end of it, you kind of have to fight with facts because you don't have any other power.
Right.
And you just make them look like liars again and again and again. Look at Tim Cook. He's like puckered anus mouth there. Ugh. Awful.
Yeah.
Look at this
amazing
guy. But talking about sin, what does technology have to do with sin? What does, you know, zeros and ones?
Because technology has to do ultimately with power. It has to do with your way of using whatever means that you have at your disposal to destroy your enemies, to benefit from it, to twist and shape the world, and destroy the people that he hates, right? The opposition, the political and ideological opposition.
But if he actually said it that way, it's because I'm a gay, weird guy with a mouth that looks like a puckered anus. I look like the Twitter bird with AIDS. But I want to destroy everybody who bullied me as a child because I'm all about my self-preservation. I'd be okay. What bugs me is he won't say that because he would lose 3/4 of his listeners' sympathy if he said, no, I'm about power and crushing and dominating and killing. It doesn't sound as nice. You have to talk about sin.
And he's talking about how hate and violence, you know, is so prevalent or whatever. And then he totally just ignores all the violence that we've seen against, like, Trump supporters and all, you know, leading up to the election and everything else. It was, like, just an amazing amount of violence. And these guys have continued to just look the other way and just say, well, it's only at Charlottesville that it happened, and that's it, you know.
Almost all of it, and they can justify it, but it's a female moralistic brain that can do that. And yet, you know, realizing I don't like to do it, but you got a lot of these knuckleheads that aren't rational on the right, maybe I can shame them into seeing it differently by saying you're thinking like a girl when you're talking about evil and morality and all that. That's how women are the moral, you know, the nags and the henpecks and the hectors and the ones that give you a hard time for having a good time. Maybe that's a good way to present it, because, you know, saying the Bible doesn't make any sense, even though that's true, apparently that just rolls right off their true believer brains.
I think they realized that it worked so well for such a long time, right, in terms of superstition to a certain extent, because that's what it is, right? These are new witch trials. These are people who are in violation of the whatever the code happens to be at the time. But it's still just a tool and a weapon to use to gain more control over people and to dominate them, and to push and change the world in whatever way you want to change it.
Yeah, I think maybe they're onto something and they've seen that it works, the left's doing it. But, you know, if going back to the old ways worked, it would have worked the first time around. Obviously, it didn't have the staying power. And I know they chipped away at it, but like white Sharia and all this, no, come on. It is the current, we live in a technological world. We don't live in a world where good and right and wrong and devils and angels are dictated by what, you know, hallucinating Hebrews saw out in the desert 2,000 years ago, guys. My God.
Hey, before we take a little break here in a bit, and I want to make sure we plug your book as well here at the end, but I wanted to kind of just lead into this topic a little bit, and we can continue to kind of really deconstruct this in the second part. And you, again, you just threw it out there, which is very interesting. You said they want to know what is in our heads, right? That's really, and maybe hearts too, to a certain extent, right? What do they really feel, right? We need to know your thoughts. We need to know what's going on in there so we can make a judgment in terms of what we should do with you, right? Should we give you electroshock therapy or pills, or how do we deal with your bigotry, right? That's next, I feel.
I don't think they really want to know what's in your head, because when you tell them sincerely, they don't believe you. I think it's worse than that. I think they want to dictate what's in your head. If it's not everything they tell you, you should think they will tell you, or just to dictate what's in there. And it's like, that's what I got a problem with.
Yeah.
Because like I said, not only do they teach me in journalism school, you don't say what someone thinks. I've had my own motivations as a writer. Every time someone online or in an article tries to tell what I'm thinking, they're wrong. Every time. When Answer Me went on trial for obscenity, the prosecution said I meant one thing with the magazine. The defense said something else. They were both wrong. It was like Kafka's The Trial. Like, people are arguing what was in my heart, and they're both wrong, and this has the power of law. That's pretty, I mean, it's a word that's amazing. Overused, but that's pretty terrifying.
It is.
Totalitarian. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, freedom of opinion and stuff like that. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. The articles like this, right? Side effects, right, to a blood pressure drug that they were testing reduces inbuilt racism. It's removing all these things.
That's
right?
A chapter in the book called Give the Bigots a Pill. They found some, like, blood pressure that what it does is lowers your natural healthy defense.
Exactly.
Mechanisms.
Exactly.
And it makes you vulnerable to predators. But this is seen as good by little pencil-necked Stephen Adams medical correspondent.
Well, because we don't have any predators anymore. Don't worry about the Tim Cooks and the Bill Gates and the Noel Ignatievs that you mentioned, or the Tim Wises, right? I mean, that's the bears of our time. That's the crocodiles, the lions, right? I mean, they're the ruthless ones, these Silicon Valley.
But what they are, I mean, they're not predators, they're tattletales. They run to the cops they don't take it into their own hands. They're like, hey, mob, go do this, or hey, government. They don't have the guts to go do it themselves.
They're like that fish. Remember, there's a fish that found a survival technique, which is to pose as a woman, or like a weakling or whatever, and it still managed to get in there, if you will, before, you know, the real fish gets in there. But it works, right? What I'm saying is they found a technique to shape and change and ultimately have power that kind of circumvents the traditional ways of gaining the upper hand of power. You know what I mean?
I think instead of going back to morality, I think Alinskyite tactics might be the best. Mock
people. They hate that. They don't like it.
Because every last one of them, you can't find a John Wayne or an Oliver Reed among any progressive male. You can't find an old school man anymore. It's like, look at Tim Cook. Look at Tim Wise. Tim Wise looks like a beaver mated with Dr. Evil or something. There's nothing like, I wouldn't trust Tim Wise to lead me in a stagecoach across the Old West. None of these, but they're all snitches and tattletales. And it's Revenge of the Nerds writ large.
Yep.
These are people who were clearly mocked for being weak or weird as kids, but man, they grow up and they have a chance to get back at those people. They do it for the rest of their lives. And that's what, I mean, progressivism is a coalition of misfits and disgruntled people in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's the outside, right? The perpetual outsider, the underdog, right? That story that always has been, you know, so pushed, at least in America and Hollywood. You know?
But they become the mainstream and the bullies.
Of course, absolutely, in that effect of doing that, which is interesting because, as you say, that almost then opens it up to us using the energy of the underdog and the outsider to actually affect the establishment. And that's kind of in the twist we are right now, I think.
But like that article you showed, oh, the idea that whites are under attack, they'll just mock you. They'll gaslight you. No, hey, we're celebrating in this article on page 3 about your genetic demographic extinction, and on page 4, we're going to say you're crazy for noticing that we're celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. Last clip. Let's play this one, and we'll just mention it briefly.
Not only our Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing.
And so yet, Jim, if you look at something like the Great Replacement Theory, right? They call it a conspiracy. It's just a conspiracy theory. Don't worry about it. It's not really happening. We are replacing you, though, but if you talk about it, you're a nutcase and you believe in conspiracies.
If you don't believe people in power conspire to maintain or increase their power, you're naive as hell.
You're dumb.
I'd rather be paranoid than naive or gullible.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're not right?
And again, you know, stepping on the third rail here, I can prove the conspiracy theories exist. Protocols of the Elders of Zion. There had to have been some kind of conspiracy there. Either it was a legitimate group of rabbis plotting to take over the world, or it was a bunch of Russian anti-Semites trying to frame rabbis. There had to have been a conspiracy. But there have been why do we don't even know how much money the CIA gets? They won't even reveal that. Do people think they're rescuing cats from trees? Frank Church, I would have voted for him for president. He was a Democrat from Idaho. He led the church committee in the 70s. Unveiled the CIA had infiltrated hundreds of newspapers. And he talked about the NSA and giving it too much power. He said, if we let this agency grow, it will be past a point of no return. When you have the technological whip hand, there will not be any freedom anymore. And yeah, that's where we are right now. So I don't think it's the English versus the French 300 years ago. This is, if we let them get too much power, it's over.
This is globalists, this is technocrats, you know, a whole new class of rulers. There's, of course, kind of the usual suspects behind the scenes of that. But let's get into that in part two. Before we take a break, though, let's plug the book properly here. Tell us about Whiteness, the Original Sin, where people can get it. It's doing fairly well, you said, as well at this point.
Yeah, I'll be, you can go to jimgo.net. That's the only place you can get signed copies for the cover price, $14. It's a 350-page book. You not only get it signed, you get it sent for $14. I'm down to 13 copies. I won't get more until early January. So, if you want to go to Amazon, you can get them there. I don't have it in any bookstores or anywhere else. I don't think most people would carry it these days. But, 350 pages, 50 articles, every one of them dealing with the stigmatization. And it's religious stigmatization of white people. And it was not sold, when they sold us anti-racism in the 60s, they didn't tell us this shit was going to happen.
No.
Nobody. They would have been snuffed out immediately. So they had to lie incrementally about what was going on.
That's right. Exactly. That's how you boil the frog, as they say. Make sure you follow Jim Goad on Twitter as well for regular updates. And then jimgoad.net is the website. We have links down below, guys, if you want to pick up a copy of the book. A lot of good things in there. I've been going through the book here today. It's a very good overview of just a relentless attack on white people and whiteness itself and the different twists and turns that it's taken and really the absurd level that this is at this point. And then the as you said before, the gaslighting into thinking that this is actually not happening. You can have admissions. You can have quotes by people. You can show it. You can document. You can show the United Nations Population Replacement Program, and they still call you a lunatic for thinking that this is real. One day, though, they are going to openly say, we are doing it, and it's the greatest thing, just like Joe Biden said, and they'll be more public about it.
They're really close to it. I think they realize they can't be entirely honest or it would stop it in its tracks.
Yeah, exactly. And there's one last comment I make here before we break. A girl who wrote the book, really, on the alt-right in the wake of Charlottesville, she wrote an article for The Atlantic. I mentioned it a couple of times, but it's a good article called The Lost Boys. Angela Nagel is her name, and she basically said that Well, the basic observations of the alt-right is correct, more or less, you know, that they are being dispossessed, young white males specifically. And so she said, but so her recommendation to the establishment and the elites was take it down a couple of notches because they're actually noticing this. And it's bad that they're noticing because they're waking up to it. You know, so her tactic is like, slow down, don't have open borders because it goes too fast, you know.
That's amazingly honest. And it was Steve Saylor who said a long time ago, the political correctness is a war on noticing.
Yes. Yep.
You're just not allowed to notice certain things.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, you know, all this, I don't want to live in a world where Muslims are afraid to wear a hijab at Walmart. I really don't want to live in a world where you have to bite your tongue till you bite it off.
That's right. Whiteness, the original sin. Pick up a copy, folks. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with part two with Jim Goad. We'll be right back. Well, guys, more is coming up with Jim Goad here in part two. Before we do that, however, just want to let you know that we have more interviews coming up. We also have the live stream, our Christmas Yule live stream that we do annually on the 21st of December. We'll have a good long evening, a lot of guests joining in, a lot of fun as well. And we will be live streaming that to our Twitter and to our Facebook since we have a strike on YouTube. That will be released soon, so we'll go back to, you know, business as usual here shortly. But more information about that is coming, so check the sites, check our YouTube channel, and check our Twitter and Facebook as well for that. All right, guys, part two with Jim Goad coming up. We're going to continue talking about whiteness, the original sin. Great discussion as we continue with Jim Goad. Join us at redicemembers.com. Sign up for membership, support us, make sure we can continue. And we'll talk to you guys on the other side of this break.